America weekend.
Well, I'm going out of west out on the coast, where the California girls are really the most.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Kara DeFalco.
It is always quite an honor to be able to tap into our resource on the West Coast. He is our official West Coast correspondent, the one and only Lloyd Lindsay Young. Lloyd, as always, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And hello, Kara and Ed. Boy, it's great to be on. I'll tell you that. We've got a lot going on here in the West. A lot of wow, do we have weather.
Oh, yeah, it has been quite the wild time. You talk about the wild, wild West. Tell us a little just what it's been like to endure this crazy West weather.
Well, it's been really bad, almost as bad as the El Nino year of 1997-98. We have a lot of flooding in the suburbs of San Francisco, particularly in the North Bay, along the Russian River and the Napa River. Forced evacuations,
wow.
Trees down, power outages. It has just been relentless, especially since the new year has started. The snow in the Sierra Nevada is incredible. We still have a blizzard warning in effect. Of course, that'll expire. But they have had, oh gosh, five times the normal amount of snowfall.
Wow.
So I can categorically say, this is the good news.
Mm-hmm.
The major drought is over.
I was going to ask you that.
O.
Yeah, I would hope so after all that, right?
I was going to ask, was it enough to finally quench the drought that's been out there?
In one word, definitely.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. The Sacramento River, the American River are overflowing in spots.
Wow.
And you know something? Even the city of Reno, Nevada has experienced flooding due to the Truckee River. What happened is we had a tremendous amount of snow and then heavy rain, tropical air. We call it the Pineapple Express with its connections to the tropics, Hawaii and
yes.
the far west.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it flowed right in here, the river of air, and my goodness, it caused flooding downstream. The last time that happened was in 1997-98. There were even some evacuations, not a lot, but some, in the city of Reno in the suburb of Sparks, Nevada. The last time it happened, actually a couple of casinos closed in Reno, but it didn't get that bad this time. But my goodness, and how about this? So bad with the blizzard that some of the ski resorts, due to the 70, 80 mile an hour winds, were forced to close. So we are going to get a break in the next few days, but all of our long range computer models bring more and more precipitation into Northern California. And also, Southern California has not as bad, but they've had ample rain, so their drought is essentially over with, too.
And Lloyd, I was so shocked to hear that the iconic redwood tree that people drive through fell over because of all the rain
yeah,
and the wind.
Yeah, that's been there for, oh my, I can remember as a little boy.
I have so wanted to see that. I always wanted to get out there and see I want to go see the redwood forest anyway, and I still plan to go one day, but that was I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to drive through that tree now. I've never seen it. I've never been there.
That was so shocking. Like I said, many decades ago as a little boy, it's right on Highway 101. I would say, hey, Daddy, can we drive through that tree? Can't do it anymore.
Aww.
It collapsed.
It's heartbreaking.
That's incredible.
It's been something.
So you mentioned now there's a bit of a break. So as we look at the second half of the winter, we hope that things are going to be at least not as harsh. As we take a look at the remainder of the winter, is it going to be this bad? Or I know we're getting the break now. Is it going to get this bad again at some point?
I think so. I really think so. Because remember, this is only mid-January. And normally our rainy season goes all the way through March. And the other thing that I want to address is the rest of the country. I think historically, you know, February and March can be pretty rough in the Northeast and the
right.
Midwest. And, well, we're starting to see evidence of that. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, there were places in Minnesota where the wind chill factor reached 40, 50, 60 below. So I think in Alaska, oddly enough, is very mild. They've had record-breaking high temperatures
wow.
up there. And that is indicative of severe weather in the United States. And we had another freaky thing happen. We have tornadoes in Alabama and Mississippi about a week ago, and that is very rare in the middle of winter.
Right, yes. That's
things
very out of season.
Mm-hmm.
Things are really bizarre all over the United States.
Now, Lloyd, can I ask you, as a meteorologist, as someone who studies the science of weather, do you, what part of this, or any part of it, do you contribute to global warming?
I think there's at least a portion of it. Yes, indeed. Global warming is a real thing. I believe in it. In our lifetime, is Miami going to be underwater? No. But, I think global warming, as I mentioned, Alaska's had record-breaking high temperatures.
Right.
I think it's a real thing. What percentage of it you can attribute to global warming is difficult to say, but I do agree with you, Kara. I think part of it is definitely due to global warming. But
okay.
It's, wow, us Californians, what a relief to have this major, major prolonged drought over.
Finally.
Yeah.
Over. Sure, sure. All right. Now, the other thing we were going to talk about today, and it was funny because when you and I emailed yesterday talking about what we were going to bring up on the show, it was something that I thought the same thing of. I'm thinking of back last Monday, the national championship game for college football. This game went on forever. My goodness, I'm on the East Coast. I want to go to bed. This thing's not over yet. Lloyd, these games take a half a day to complete.
Well, you know, that's one of my pet peeves. I enjoy college football, but it was a great game.
It was.
Now, luckily, here on the West Coast, it ended at 9:30 at night.
Right.
But it's all for television. But the reason these games, I can remember not that long ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, that college football games would end in 3 hours. But now you have long halftimes.
Mm-hmm.
We have replays of controversial, you know, they want to make sure they get it right. And this constant clock stoppage every time a first down is picked up. So you have that. And, I'm thinking, you know, it's all for television, yes and no, because like you say, on the East Coast, people who have to go to work the next morning, they miss one of the greatest college football games ever played.
Sure.
Because of what percentage of the people actually stayed up till 12:30 a.m.?
Right.
Not many. I mean, especially if you don't really have a true rooting interest. I mean, college football has never been big in the New York City area, but if that's not your school, my school is Rutgers. We're never going to play for the national championship. Kara came from Rutgers as well. We both know we'll never have to worry about
that. It's not
happening. No, it's not. But the whole thing is, if you want to watch this game, you got to surrender some serious sleep. And you brought up something that's key. Why do they have to stop the clock after every first down in college football? That is downright ridiculous.
Well, one time I sat with a stopwatch and I ascertained that the game took 40 minutes longer every time I sat there as an experiment. So if they didn't have that rule, now, you know, in the pros, the clock keeps rolling
right,
when
yes.
the first down is picked up. That, on average, adds 30 to 40 minutes to any college football game. It's a stupid rule that I think it's been around at least 30 years, but it hasn't been around forever in the history of college football. And then, of course, another thing, longer commercial breaks.
Right.
That was obvious, you know, during timeouts there were more commercials. You put the whole ball of wax together, and there you have it. And another interesting thing, out here in California, I happened to be in a sports bar that night, and, you know, I went in at happy hour because my wife was working late, and I'll have one drink and watch this game, and then everybody cleared out after happy hour. And the interest out here in California is not big at all.
No.
Especially the San Francisco Bay Area, the big cities. We have so much going on. And frankly, Alabama's to be respected, and Clemson, they won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell that, you know, I was talking to the manager. I said, well, why is everybody leaving the college game? They're here for happy hour. They really don't care about this.
No,
you know?
They don't. It's two teams from the deep south. You're in the Bay Area. Nobody cares.
No, and that's really it. And if you don't have that, you know, if you're not an alum from one of those schools or you're not
right.
a diehard fan, you're not. I'll be honest. I mean, I was at work that night. I didn't see any of the game, but I didn't feel I was missing anything
sure.
either. You know, it made no difference to me.
Yeah, well, you know, the most interesting thing in this whole conversation. Now, you and I have grown to be pretty good friends now over the past year. But when you said you actually sat there with a stopwatch to time this out, my goodness, you know, that is true diligence to try to figure out just how long these games are going. I'm quite impressed. Next time I get together, yes, we're going to watch a game and you're going to bring your stopwatch. I'm telling you that right now.
I did this about 5 years ago.
Oh,
I was curious. It was just a typical, I think it was a USC-Oregon game, something like that. And I was curious one day. And I sat there with a stopwatch and stopped it and started it every time they picked up a first down. And I think the grand total, they wasted 38 minutes with this silly rule.
Good man.
And now, of course, to exacerbate it, to repeat it, the replays, you know, whether you're for it or against
right.
it, those take time also.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the average pro game may go 3 hours and 3 hours and 10 minutes, but I think the average college game is close to an hour longer.
And you're right. I've been to Rutgers games where you're sitting there literally for 4 hours. I mean, and after a while, it's like, oh my goodness, I got to get out of here. So, yes, that it's ridiculously too long, and they chase away their audience. Well, we never chase him away, but now we're up against the clock. It is always quite a pleasure to talk to the one and only Lloyd Lindsay Young. As always, Lloyd, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, and we'll talk to you guys in the near future. Thank you so much.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalegi.
And I'm Kara DeFalco.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. When Jim proposed to Judy, he gave her a very expensive engagement ring. But a few months later, Judy broke off the engagement. Since Jim spent so much money on the ring, he asked for it back, but Judy refused. She said it was a gift, and Jim had no legal right to take it away from her. So, can Judy keep the ring? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Engagement gifts are given with the expectation that marriage will take place. Since Judy broke off the engagement, she must return the ring, or Jim can go to court to recover it. And that's the final verdict.
Now, Teen Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here taking your child in for their shots. Maybe you're getting a flu shot. Maybe you're afraid of needles. Or maybe you're just putting off getting a booster shot because you think it's going to hurt. What to do? Trick the brain. Here's the biological science of it. Well, the truth, shots hurt. But there are ways to minimize the pain. Now, according to a recent study in the Journal of Pain and Symptom Management, before you're stuck with a needle, ask the nurse to apply firm pressure to the injection site for about 10 seconds. The shot will hurt about one-third less. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, it has to do with competing brain pathways. The pinch pressure tricks the brain and it sort of misses the sharp signal. Or maybe it's just as simple as the pinch hurts more than the shot. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.